You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Welcome to the Packers Weekly Podcast, part of PackersTalk.com Network. I'm your host, Miles Tuttick, joined by your co-host, Tim Hamilton. We are diehard Packers fans, just love talking about the Pack. We are not getting into all the national sports media BS that they get into. We are talking about the top topics around the Pack every week, sorting through the games during the season and diving through all the draft and rumors and drama of the offseason. If y'all want to support the podcast, please spike that like button for us, but most importantly, jump on over to youtube.com, type in Packers Talk Network, hit that subscribe button right there, and you could have done that in the amount of time that I just explained it. So go do that real quick couple clicks, and it'll make our day. We are very thankful for you all in this season, all of our subscribers, all of our listeners coming hanging out with us every Monday night at 9:30. And we got a fun one tonight. Of course, a dominant win over the Vikings always will be sweet. Doesn't matter the context around it at all. Not that there's any context to really get into. This was just a fun, dominant win over the Vikings. We can always find something to complain about, and we will. But those things are small and meaningless at this point because we beat the crap out of the Vikings. Come on. At Lambeau. It's great. It's perfect. I don't know how you ask for more. So we're going to get into all that. And then, of course, you got a short week before we get to Detroit on Thanksgiving Day at noon. And, the Lions, huh? You know, they were a tough guy for a minute. Maybe they're not. We're going to find out. Let's talk about it. But first, let's take care of some business. The show is once again sponsored by Wisconsin's own Ticket King. For over 30 years, Ticket King has been providing Packers tickets to Packers fans, as well as Bucks tickets, Brewers tickets, all the tickets, Summerfest in the summer, other stuff in the winter. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com or visit their locations in Green Bay, Milwaukee. Remember, support all those local businesses out there in your local area. Tim, how you doing, sir? Good evening.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, I just love beating the Vikings.
Ain't it sweet? Like, and beating them, beating them convincingly. Like, a game that was never really in doubt. Kicking their ass in the second half, just being way more physical than them on both sides of the ball. All three sides of the ball. Hell, special teams with the game changing.
Special teams wasn't a liability. How did that happen?
What? Packers special teams actually contributed to a win. They made the big play that swung the momentum of the game.
Unreal.
What year is this?
Unreal. What is going on? Someone pinch me.
Packers playing complimentary football in all three phases. I mean, yeah. Damn, that feels pretty good. So, yeah, I'm feeling great. I will say, Miles, though, the only thing that maybe concerns me is the Vikings have their quarterback. Like, J.J. McCarthy, he just needs more time. Like, give him another 5 or 10 years. Let him develop.
10 years at least.
Right. Be patient with him. Like, they may have their guy there.
Pay him a lot. Make sure it's worth his while to stay there for 10 years, maybe 15.
Right. Do not go out and get a veteran quarterback. Why do you need a veteran quarterback? You got to let the young guy develop. And McCarthy, I mean, he needs a lot of development, I guess. But be patient with him. Be really patient because he could be the guy.
Like, super patient.
Mm-hmm.
Super patient. More super patient than they were with Kirk Cousins.
More patient than anybody's ever been with a quarterback because he sucks. If we're being honest, but be patient with him. Like, keep him forever.
Forever and ever.
Yeah. Nine. Let him leave. Nine. Yeah.
Long live nine.
I mean, there were just a couple throws. He was slightly off. He only held the ball a little too long. You know, he was so close in that game. So close. Yeah.
Yeah. Very close. Very close to getting benched.
You know, I just you hate to see it with a young quarterback like that struggling. You know, the Packers might add something to do with that too by their pass rush just absolutely dominating the game once they're, once the big play by the special teams and they could get it to 17-6, which I guess 17-6 was just like an insurmountable lead. against the Vikings these days. but they, you know, once they got there, it was just unleash the pass rush, and they couldn't block Micah Parsons. And I mean, I don't know who's doubting it. Maybe like idiot Cowboy fans who want to like talk themselves into it. But like anybody that's down what the Packers gave up for Micah Parsons, whether the draft picks and Kenny Clark and the money they paid him, like get the hell out of here. He is worth everything.
You're not watching ball.
Like if they want to throw in a couple more first round picks, I would be fine with that.
Because I mean, hey, you know, pump the brakes here. Pump the brakes.
I mean, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But I mean, if they, you know, if they would have done it, like whatever. He's awesome. He's dominant. He makes everybody on that defense so much better. I mean, we saw Gary come alive and play a lot of snaps for him yesterday. We saw Devontae Wyatt with a couple sacks. The, you know, first time he's had an impact since his injury or since he came back from his injury. He makes everybody better, and he was just destroying that offensive line. It was so cool to see. They dominate, and then the turnover started in the second half, and an awesome defensive performance in the second half. Concerns about the running game, we can get to that later, but they were great. Offensively, I mean, the job Emmanuel Wilson did was just – he was awesome. You know, just always moving his legs, always going forward. Some, you know, nice 10-yard runs here and there, but just like – it. Great with his decision making and when to cut the ball and find the holes. He opened my eyes. I had no idea that he would be that good. You know, I know we've seen him for a couple of years now. He's a nice number two back, but I was not expecting that performance by him carrying the load for Jacobs. He was really, really good. And I thought Jordan Love played good again. I know if you just look at the stats, it's not going to show that. But the dude's playing with a separated shoulder, which I think is a big factor in what the game plan was and why they were conservative. And the pass rush was on him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Pitched him constantly in that game. And some of his throws with guys in his face right off the snap. And, you know, the one over the middle of Dontayvion Wicks, which was a third down conversion.
Fade away.
Fade away over the top of a defender in between three other Vikings. Just, it was all just an incredible throw. So I thought he played well. And they got the Christian Watson. If you just look at his stats, they're not going to overwhelm you, but clutch, man. And they started going to him more, which is nice to see. We've been calling for that. It's heading in that direction, which is great. So a lot to be happy about and not a whole lot to complain about. I'll take that win anytime. Could it have been better? Could they have scored more points? Sure, absolutely. Did they get a little conservative offense? Yeah, but I think if you look at the whole plan, which was we want to control the ball, they're running the ball well, they got that 2-score lead, let the defense in. LaFleur didn't say it, but he kind of said it in the press conference. Once they got that 2-score lead, it was like the defense could pin their ears back and McCarthy wasn't going to beat them. And I think the short week and the amount of injuries that they had, especially offensively, played into that game plan. You know, the report came out Sunday morning. Jordan Love's playing with a separated left shoulder. You got to protect them. You don't want to have him dropping back too much when they turn around and play another game in 4 days. Obviously, the injuries at receiver, changes on the offensive line. Like, I don't like a conservative game plan. I definitely think they could have gone to play action, thrown the ball a little more than they did. But I understand it when you get a performance like that. And the fact that their defense only had to play 44 snaps, and then you got to turn around and play in 4 days, that really helps your football team.
And you look absolutely.
You look at the Lions, who had to go to overtime, and their defense played 77 snaps in that game. Like, that could factor
in. It is a difference.
Right. So, yeah, I don't like conservative, but I think the conservative was for that team in that situation for that game. I don't think they're going to be conservative on Thanksgiving. You're going to see a different game plan. And I think that shows something about your coaching staff. It's like, okay, how do we win this week against this opponent in this situation? And they did it to get through the Vikings, and now you're going to be a little bit, probably a lot different what you do against the Lions. So I'll take
it. I got to believe that.
I don't have much to complain about. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. It's two wins in a row and really big game coming up on Thanksgiving. So, I mean, those are my impressions. I feel good about it. You beat the Vikings and you beat them pretty easily, and you rub it in their face a little bit with the skull chant at the end.
Wow.
I'll take it.
Man, that moment needs to be somehow enshrined in the Packers Hall of Fame. That moment is going to give us decades of trolling. Like in the age of social media, every time a Vikings fan wants to use that, I'm just going to post that video. The Packers. I mean, that was just so beautiful. Hang it in the Louvre. Hang it in the Louvre, as they say. I absolutely loved that moment. Could not have loved that more. It was the perfect little bow on a beautiful win. But
very nice.
There are always things to complain about. And I think that it's important to be consistent, because as soon as they lose and we criticize someone, well, you say anything when they won. For sure. Because, you know, when you do things right, it's hard to complain about doing things the right way. But when you do things wrong and you lose, it's easy to complain about you doing things the wrong way. You should have done things the wrong way. Do things the right way. We won't complain about it. And then you'll win. So here we are. They did things the right way a lot. You know, there wasn't a ton to complain. There were a few moments where you saw the same short situation inside zone and it did get blown up. And just like, damn, man, like, can we stop that? Or would you at least run a play action out of that in some way, shape, or form? If they're teeing off on you to the point where they just know what's coming, that is begging for a play action. It's begging for a fake, please. So maybe they're trying to set that up for the Detroit game. Would love to see that, some type of fake that happens in a situation where they're expecting that inside zone. But, yeah, I mean, you can't complain about it, especially considering everything. You know, we got a few folks in the chat that have called it out too already. You know, the circumstances, short week, you've got injuries, not just to Jordan Love, but you got injuries around the board. Get a win and get out. That's it. I think that really, I don't think that you have a game plan where it's like, hey, let's not score that much. Right. But I think you do have a game plan where it's like, hey, I think if we do this, we'll control the game. If we control the game, 9's not going to beat us, you know? And, yeah. And I have to believe that that's kind of how they approached this one. If they didn't, then they lucked into that being the approach. But
yeah,
it was beautiful. They shut them down.
Yeah. I think injuries had a lot to do with that. And I think if they weren't playing the game on Thursday, they would have been more aggressive. I think it was one of those, like, we're running the ball good. We're going to stick with this. We got guys that are banged up that are playing. We got guys that aren't able to make it in this game. Like, let's run the clock and get out of here. They can't block us. McCarthy's not going to beat us. That's clear. I don't think they respected him at all, nor should they. So yeah, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here with the win. We got this. We don't need style points. We don't need to put 40 on the board. Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be nice. Whatever. But like, you don't need that. You're turning around and playing another game. And like, you know, you got your quarterback with an injured shoulder. He's handing the ball off with his right hand, even on
right
runs that should be with his left hand. Like, you don't need to expose him to that blitz anymore, because they were coming after him the whole game. So why let something happen to, you know, like, it only takes one more shot, you know? So
right,
don't do that. It just makes sense. Yes, it was in the moment watching it, I was frustrated a couple of times. Like, all right, you're running the ball good, but like, play action time now, like, hit one over their heads, or like, let your quarterback throw it a little bit here. Like, he's playing a good game. He played good last week against the Giants. Like, put the ball in his hands. But then you think about it afterwards, and you're like, you know what? It makes sense. And you take everything into account. You see what the Lions went through to have to come back and beat the Giants in the fourth quarter. You know, the team that all the Packer fans, or a lot of Packer fans, and all, we were complaining about how the Packers, you know, didn't beat them by much last week. Well, we beat them, and the Lions had to come back from 10 down in the fourth quarter to force overtime to beat them there. And it, you know, took a lot of plays to get there, and it took a lot out of Detroit. So it all kind of like factors in. So I really think the Packers ended up playing that the right way.
They scored. Yeah. And let's just have a dose of perspective, because I think that's something that I need every now and then, especially when I, you know, do get frustrated about how the Packers have been inconsistent or conservative, whatever it is. Yeah, you go off and you say, hey, you should have beat the Giants by more. Okay, well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Let's look around the league this week. You got the Eagles losing to the Cowboys. You got, like you said, with the Lions, you know, almost losing to the Giants. You got the Patriots only beating the Bengals by 6, you know, and then the Steelers go off and lose to the Bears. Like, there's just all sort. The Colts lost to the Chiefs. Not that was super lopsided. There's just all sorts of areas where you go, oh, dang, that team. You know, I mean, the Jags barely pulled it out against the Cardinals. They needed overtime to beat that team. So there's a lot of examples where you can go, oh, man, they should have, they, you know, whatever. A win's a win, man. You take the win, ugly or indifferent. But, we acknowledge the frustrations being, yeah, but if you keep doing that, you won't win, for sure. But things also tend to change a little bit week to week, you know. And we were frustrated about things for a stretch of the season in the first half of the season that I think some of that's subsiding a little bit. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm very critical of the conservative play calling and the play calling in general and how it's been throughout the season. After this game, I'm not nervous about them being conservative against the Lions. And I know you've kind of said that, but I mean, it's a feeling that's there where it's like, okay, I think they're going to get the right pieces back. They're also getting confidence in some of their other pieces. You know, Wilson showing that he's a bona fide dude that can tote the rock. Belton at right guard might stabilize some things that will allow you to do some things. And you got Watson playing very well, very consistent. You have the potential to get Golden and Reed back. Like, there's a lot of things. There's reinforcements coming. And you're already, with the next man up mentality, beating the pulp out of the Vikings. Pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. And so that's where I think, yeah, I think they really are approaching it week to week. Some weeks I think they just have a bad plan. And we can look at that and go, what the heck are you thinking? And they're probably like, yeah, you know what? Bad plan. And they might have – there's plenty of situations where guys overcoach or outcoach themselves. You know, they look at something, they're too deep into the data, and they overthink the simple answer. And I think that happens. But it felt like they had a good plan this week. Their plan worked. Even the struggles against the run, it looked like they corrected that. I mean, the Vikings didn't even run for 100 yards. They had some good runs early on. They did, and it looked like an issue. But at the end of the day, they didn't even run for 100 yards. They couldn't do anything. They didn't score a touchdown. You held them to two long field goals. Like,
right.
Yeah, they weren't even like they got in the within sniffing distance of the end zone. You know, those were desperate points. So I really this win is very, very satisfying, and I think. While you're watching other teams struggle in those, well, they should win situations, you handled business in this situation. And the Vikings, I think we can all admit, had the potential to be a tough opponent here. I don't think anybody felt like you're just going to dog walk the Vikings. And I didn't. No, so that's where I just look at this and go, yeah, man, whatever you guys had for breakfast this week, keep doing that. Like, let's do that.
Yeah. And I think to your point, like they were, had a conservative game plan on offense for that opponent in that situation, right? I don't expect that same game plan for Detroit. If it is, then we can get on here next week and we're going to criticize most likely. Unless it works, then we'll say, great job again. But if it doesn't, and it likely won't, because you can't be conservative against Detroit, it's going to be a different game plan, and that's how it should be. It's a week-to-week league. And to your point about, you know, the Detroit having to survive, the Eagles blowing a 21-point lead to Dallas, and you can see it every week. You know, the Bills, who a lot of people really, they've lost the Falcons and the Dolphins, and they don't look so good. And, you know, I know the Patriots are off, or have had a good season, but they had to survive against the Bengals, and the Jets had a lead over the Ravens at halftime. Like, it's every week. It's a week-to-week league. So you got to adjust your plan each week and find whatever gives you the best chance to win. And if it's not giving you, just find a way to win. So they had to have some of those games earlier, and now – yeah, you beat the Vikings going away and, you know, on cruise control in the second half. It's nice to see a win like that. It's nice to not have to sweat one out and not really have complaints coming out of that game other than, yeah, they were a little conservative, but it makes sense when you look at the big picture and what the plan was, right? So, yeah, if they would have hung 40 points on them, great, it looks awesome, but, like, big picture, does it really change anything about their season? Like, no. So you got the win, you got it comfortably, and now you're on the Detroit, a much better team and a much bigger game, and probably in better shape going into it with the plan that you executed on Sunday.
Yeah. No, and we saw the game plan against Detroit, first game of the season. You know, like, they have a game plan for Detroit. And I'll concede that that was a time that was probably vulnerable for Detroit with new coordinators and, you know, just kind of settling into a new season. But it's not like they arm wrestled with the Packers in that game. The Packers were very dominant in that game. And that was with a brand new Micah Parsons that they didn't know what the heck to do with. Now they're figuring it out, man. Like, they, this defense has got to be scaring some offenses, because it's even if you want to go off and look and, you know, at picking on the DBs, they're not really giving you that. Valentine's not giving you an easy target. Now we got Hayden on the field. It's like, hey, he's not bad either. You know, I don't know what's going on with Nixon. Hopefully he's okay. But I just think that if you think you can pick on this defense, I don't know. I don't know if you can. I think this defense will make mistakes, and I think that they will, you know, they're not invincible, but I don't think that there's a real weakness for someone to just go out and exploit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think they've been able to cover up some of their weaknesses and, you know, make adjustments throughout games. Like, I have concerns about the run defense based on what we saw against Carolina and the first half against Minnesota, and even against the Giants. But if they get a lead, the pass rush is really good and
relentless.
Right. And that, you know, that falls kind of on your offense to get that lead for them. Because if you can, then it's going to take the running game mostly out of the game. So you won't have to worry about that. And I know their corners, if you look at their corners, and you're like, okay, they don't really have a number one corner, but Carrington Valentine's playing really well.
Very well.
You know, Nixon's up and down, and he was hurt, and we'll see if he plays on Thursday, short week. I kind of doubt it, but Maul Haddon came in there and did a good job. Now, he wasn't tested a lot because, you know, Minnesota doesn't have a quarterback, but he held up. You know, he was covering Justin Jefferson. It wasn't like he was scared of him. It wasn't like right. He was giving him 20-yard cushions because he didn't know what to do and didn't want, you know, Justin Jefferson to turn him around. He was there, and he was up in receivers' faces and playing physical. So we'll see what he can do. Yeah, I mean, if he's got to play and be a starter, Detroit's going to target him. I mean, no doubt, because he's a new, you know, new starter. He played his first NFL defensive snaps against the Vikings. But I think they can cover that up. Their safeties are really good. And if they can get the pass rush that they had against the Vikings or that they had week one against the Lions, that helps your corners out so much more. So, yeah, I don't think they have this, like, glaring weakness defensively. Could they be better in some spots? Sure, absolutely. So could every other team in the league. But they're a really good defense. They're coached very well by the defensive coordinator. And I still think, like, if they – both sides of the ball can help each other out. If the offense can start a little quicker and get some more points, that helps out your defense so much more, because then you're going to see the pass rush that you saw against the Vikings in the second half. And good luck with that. Like, turn those guys loose, and they finally have that kind of defense where, like, if they can pin their ears back and go get you, they have Micah Parsons, and they can come and get you, whether it's Parsons or Parsons just freeing it up for somebody else. Like, they have that difference maker that they haven't had in the past. So, yeah, it's you kind of see the formula for how this team can be really successful this season and make it successful all the way through.
Well, and I've talked about it a little bit, but, you know, when you think about the common themes of championship teams, it's the ability to run the ball, it's the ability to stop the run, it's the ability to rush the passer. And the Packers are doing that right now. They're doing that on all boxes checked. Stopping the run is not perfect, but it's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. And, you know, if you're top five, top 10 at that, I think you'd be all right, because the way the pass rush is right now is it's elite. Might be, I mean, you know, Myles Garrett is about to do some historic things. So you might not have the best pass rush in the league, but you're close. And yeah, I think each week they get a little bit better at using Micah Parsons and taking advantage of the opportunities around him that he creates. Looked like LVN only got 6 snaps. So hopefully we see a little bit more of him this week. I don't know if he's actually healthy. That we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, so even Ian Agbare, like, you know, he's still coming in and making great plays. You know, you're getting plays from places you really need to if you want to win a championship and go on a run. And now is not the time to be perfect, but you're close to peaking at the right time, especially if you can go in here and you get a win against Detroit. They're doing the right things. Whereas like last season, we were winning, we're excited, but we're like, you know, we're kind of only beating bad teams, and you know, we're not really able to do what we need to when it matters. And that's just not the problem now. You know, the problem is not that right now. Injuries have been an issue for sure, but these guys are playing the right kind of football at the right time is what it feels like to me. And I think they're only going to get better. You know, this game probably looks even different if you've got Josh Jacobs, but and not to take anything away from what Wilson did. But yeah, so, you know, I'm very, very excited about what, you know, the direction they're heading in. There's always room for the wheels to fall off. That could always happen. But my biggest takeaways from this one, the positive takeaways, definitely the pass rush, just disrupting everything. Belton at right guard might be the stabilizing force that offensive line has needed. Don't want to get too over my skis on that one, but definitely could be. There's a possibility there.
That was interesting because they had let it – Luke Butkus had let it kind of drop last week going into the Vikings game. Where he mentioned in his press conference, like, oh, yeah, Belton's – we've been practicing that guard. And it was like, okay, well, throughout training camp, he was only a tackle. And they said, yeah, we're only working him at tackle right now. And we were saying – everybody else was saying, like, why aren't you trying him at guard? He looks like a guy that could probably be a guard. They end up being – like, so it was weird that they weren't. And then he was playing tackle early in the year when Tom was hurt. And then he got hurt and came back. And it was okay. But apparently, at some point, they started putting him at guard. And it was like, oh, that's interesting. But I didn't expect him to come out there and be in a rotation in the first half with Jordan Morgan. But he was. And then he played the entire second half at right guard. So we'll see how they play it going forward. You never know with how they make decisions along the offensive line. But I would think he's going to be – I would think he's starting against Detroit. Like, I don't see how he would go from playing him the majority of the snaps the entire second half to then going it back to Morgan or even going to a rotation. Maybe you go to a rotation, but Belton's the starter. I would just let Belton run with it and see what he got, because that's part of why you can run it. And that might really help your run defense going forward, is just having three big guys in the middle between Banks, Sean Ryan, and Belton. Like, I think that's just better run defense for you right there. And, you know, maybe Morgan starts getting some time back at left tackle. I don't know, but that was a very interesting development. I know he wasn't perfect and he's got a long way to go at guard, but definitely very positive early signs from Belton. And finally, they put him there at guard, and a nice adjustment. So credit to the coaching staff for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that could be something that, again, that you can build on and stack on next week that just wasn't there in the first part of the season for whatever reason, doesn't matter. Those two, the pass rush, Belton at right guard, and then, you know, the fact that just kind of the next man up mentality. So, you know, Isaiah McDuffie, Emmanuel Wilson, these guys that are coming in, you know, getting these, you know, and Kamal Hayden getting these backup opportunities to come in and have an impact on the game, and they're doing it. They're taking advantage of their opportunities. Isaiah McDuffie had a great game. You know, we can't take away from him. But there's so many guys to mention at this point. So yeah, just that next man up mentality that's starting to take shape would be the third positive takeaway for me. Anything to add to that?
No, it's all great. I mean, positive, like you said, next man up, and there's a lot of next man up in this game, and he played well. So, yeah, I like to see it. So, no, I think we've touched on it all from the Vikings game.
Yeah, we got some friends in the comments hanging out with us. We got let's see here, Michael Redden says hello, gents. Hello, Michael. Happy Victory Monday. Bobby Santoro, let's roll, boys. Let's roll, Bobby. Go Pack, go, sir. And we got Nos Logics. You guys got weird names I can't do, but 9 is still him. Him-ish, whatever him means. Not him, maybe.
He's a him.
He's a him. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we should talk about that for a second. He's bad. And that's for Packers fans, the first time seeing him, he's really bad. I watched him a little bit earlier in the year, and he was bad then, and it hasn't gotten any better. I know it's, you know, whatever that was, his fifth or sixth start, so it's incredibly early for him in his career, but wow. He's got a long way to go, and I don't think O'Connell believes in him. I'd probably – his teammates don't really believe in him. I'm waiting for Justin Jefferson to start going off and throwing his helmet and getting pissed off, which that would be great if he does, because maybe he'll demand a trade and we can get him out of the division. But, yeah, he – McCarthy's bad. He's bad, bad. And I don't think it's going to get any better. I don't think he was that good in college at Michigan, but – I just don't see it. I don't see him getting better. I know you got to give young quarterbacks time, and he was a quarterback that even, you know, in college, he didn't throw the ball much, so he's like limited pass attempts, right? And he missed his rookie year. And I get all that. Like, you got to give him time. But
it makes me wonder what they saw in him. The Vikings clearly have had a decent radar for quarterbacks over the last few years, or at least McConnell's been able to work with them. But, I mean – you got Darnold and what's his name for the Colts?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah. And you both let him walk. I mean, and I guess Daniel Jones, like, he really was like, no, I want to go to the Colts. But even with Darnold, it's just like, man, come on. You know, like, I get it. You just invested a pick in the guy, but you got to be able to identify, you know, talent and ability and all that, like, you know. And so what did you see in the evaluation process in McCarthy that led you to want to invest in this guy? That's what my question would be. I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I wasn't really a McCarthy hater. I kind of believe that, you know, Harbaugh knows quarterbacks. He's proven that, been around some great ones. He gives this vote of confidence to McCarthy. I mean, he put everything, he's the man. It's like, all right, but like, when he was your player, you didn't use him that way. But, you know, I didn't understand what was seen in the evaluation process that would, I don't know, be different from what we're seeing. I mean, I go back to, look, a GM invested a first round pick into Johnny Manziel. They all knew that he was a drunk a-hole. Like, I don't know why you would do that. As a fan, we all sit here and go, it seems like kind of a mistake. I don't know. And so, I think there was a lot of that with McCarthy too, and we're sitting here just like, dang, man, he's really not good. I was willing to give him some time, but I just don't think he's good.
Jones, you mentioned Daniel Jones, Darnold, they let walk, and Rodgers was interested in coming to play for O'Connell, and they kind of told him, nah, we're good with McCarthy. So you wonder, like, is it the GM saw something, but O'Connell's not too on board? Like, is there a connect? Are they both on board with McCarthy, or was one on board and the other one was kind of like, I don't know about this guy, but you're making the decisions, GM, so you take him. I didn't get it when they drafted him. Like, I didn't think he was that good. I didn't see it at Michigan. They were a run first football team, and, you know, he made some throws, made some plays when they needed him to, but I don't know. They, you know, a lot of those plays weren't against good teams, right? Like, they definitely managed him. They didn't ask him to do much. And, you know, maybe it's just that's how they knew they could win and they didn't need it from him. But I don't know. Having seen him play a few times this year, he's really bad. I don't get it. The only thing I can think of is just like they saw something that, like, okay, he could have done it at Michigan. They just didn't ask it of him. And the talent's there. We can develop him. And it's not working.
Too Evil to Hope says the only successful drives McCarthy will have in the future will be when he drives for Uber.
That's pretty good.
I think you're right. Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe they just had too much faith in McConnell's ability to develop him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems like a tough place for Vikings fans to be. Oh, darn. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that one. Boo hoo. Yeah. You guys got a couple wins the last few years. Hope you enjoyed them. You're going to need to cherish that. It's not going to come back for a while.
Nope.
So then we got this one I wanted to get to from Uncle Steppen. Melton at cornerback kind of died off. Like, what happened? All these cornerback, maybe not a bad cornerback either. Oh, no, 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 no. He's a receiver. Now he's not even an emergency cornerback. He's just a receiver. What happened? I don't get it.
I think he's a special teams guy, number one, more than anything. And then I think it was they needed receivers because they had injuries, so he had to go and play a little receiver. And now when you have an injury at corner, you know, it's Kamal Haddon. I think Kamal Haddon's just probably further along than him. And I think Melton is number one, a special teams guy, and he's like a break glass in case of emergency cornerback, which, I mean, they may need him if Nixon's going to miss time. He's the next guy up, so they might not be done with him at cornerback yet, but yeah, it's interesting, but I think Kamal Haddon's just better and a more natural cornerback, and they see more development in his game, and Melton's a special teams guy.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope they just stop putting him in at receiver on fourth down in important games. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. Yeah. And then we've got a few of our buddy Matthew Tan comes back in. He's got a question for you, Tim. Tim, you think we can beat the Lions on a short week?
I don't want to give a prediction yet. We got to get to that at the end, right?
Of course. But I mean,
I think they can? Yeah, I absolutely think they can.
There we go. A little teaser for you. They can. Will they?
Absolutely can. Will they? I'll make my prediction later, but they absolutely can. Don't fear the Lions.
But Matthew Tan says they should beat the Lions on Thursday, and I agree wholehearted with you, sir. And then we've got our friend R. Showers says Haydon playing was way overdue. I mean, I like that opinion. I'm glad he's out there. He looks good, but he was just kind of sitting there. I was thinking he's not playing. Maybe he's not playing for a reason. I don't know.
Right. He's never played an NFL snap at cornerback before until Sunday against the Vikings. So nobody knew. But now, you know, he looked decent. And I mean, he didn't have a lot of targets at him or anything like that because the Vikings don't have a quarterback, but he looked good in what he did. So cool. I'm all for it now. If he's got to play against the Lions, I'm okay with it. I'm not like scared to death that he's out there.
Yeah. I mean, his warm up reps were against the best receiver in the league, you know? So, okay. Yeah. I'm all right with that. If I didn't want to yank you off the field after you went against Justin Jefferson, you can play again. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle it. I mean, you need some help here. You got some tough receivers coming up against the Lions. So the secondary better have it together. But at the same time, that pass rush is going to make sure that the clock is short. There's not going to be a long clock. They're not going to have long developing concepts and things like that that you can take advantage of DBs and kind of – a DB can only cover a guy for so long. So you're not going to get these coverage breaks because guys are just running around back there. But, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting week. The DB situation is interesting. It's getting thin with injuries. But the guys who are there, like we said, are playing pretty good. I mean, I think the stat that I saw for Carrington Valentine was he's given up, 15 yards on 87 targets over the last two games? I think is what it was.
I don't think it. I think it's 87 coverage. Now. I think he's only been targeted like two or three times. But you're right, like
coverage snaps. Though. Okay.
Yeah. I think he's only been thrown at like two or three times and given up.
87 would be a lot in two games.
That would be a lot of targets.
Yeah. A lot of targets. So yeah, no, probably not targeted 87.
But you're right. I
wasn't really thinking about that as I said it. But it was something along those lines. Like he's given up 15 yards in the last two games. And he's played significant snaps. Not like he hasn't played any snaps. So, Carrington Valentine is carrying the load. Like, that guy is legit. I think he's going to give St. Brown all he can handle. You're not going to get it, and he's not going to back down. Part of St. Brown's advantage is his attitude, and I don't think that works on Valentine. So, I do look forward to those matchups. Those are kind of fun to watch. But Gibbs, man, Gibbs scares me a little bit. That dude is good. Gibbs is really good.
He's really good. Before we get there, I think, should we talk injuries? Or do you want to just go right in the Lions?
Yes. I guess we should figure out who we should talk about with the Lions before we get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, so the injury report is quite long, and we'll see who's available, who's not. You mentioned earlier that Van Ness and Carl Brooks, they only played a handful of snaps each. Both were injured coming in. So are they available this week? Are they playing more? Like, their status is interesting. Because I noticed at one point it looked like Van Ness was hurting. And I don't think he played after that.
Yeah, it didn't
look good. So is he, you know, back on the shelf again? Is Brooks going to play? Is he going to be available for some more snaps? Who knows? Like, that's really big along the front. Nixon, we touched on, he's got a stinger. It doesn't sound like it's long term, but it with a short week,
something.
It's something. Yeah, it sounds like he definitely is in doubt for this game. Quay Walker missed the game with a stinger. It would be really nice to get him back. I know McDuffie played well. This Lions team, the way they throw the ball over the middle of the field and play action, they will test McDuffie a whole lot more than what the Vikings were able to do. So you'd much rather have Quay Walker, I think, for this game. I don't know. Like, I was surprised he missed last week, or he missed the Vikings game. But, yeah, I don't know, with a short week. Again, if they were playing on Sunday, probably Quay would be available. Is he going to be ready to go Thursday? Who knows? That's a big one.
So ESPN has on their injury status, and this was updated today, says that he is out.
Well, they didn't practice today, but they did put out an injury report, and he was limited. So it was kind of like, if they practiced, he would have been limited.
But the status they have next to him says out.
Might have been from Sunday, but there was an injury report today. They haven't declared him out, but if he would have practiced today, he would have been limited. They didn't even have a practice. They would walk through, I guess, on Tuesday.
So Nixon listed as DNP, Van Ness DNP, Cooper limited, Bullard limited, Williams listed as non-participant, Zach Tom questionable, Wicks questionable, listed as limited.
Yeah, so like Savion Williams will probably play. He's been in the walking boot for, I guess, a few weeks now and keeps making it. Jacobs and Goldwyn will be interesting. Like, I think Jacobs will be able to go. And he kind of said last week, like, if I don't play against the Vikings, I'm definitely playing on Thanksgiving. Now it's up to the doctors too, but I think he'll be able to go. Golden had a shoulder and now it's a wrist injury. And they were, you know, at practice last week, I saw somebody, one of the reporters there was filming the individuals. And so he's running routes, but they're not throwing him the ball. All the other receivers were able, like, they were throwing him. Like, so I guess whatever it is with his wrist or his shoulder, they want to protect him from just catching the football. That doesn't seem good. But all the other receivers are going through their individual drills, catching the ball. Golden was like running the routes, and then he would just turn and stop, and they weren't throwing the football to him. So, who knows? Hopefully he's available. I think Jacobs will be back. And then it's just, you know, is Quay available? Nixon, defensive lineman that we mentioned, those are guys who are up in the air. There's some obviously really big key injuries on the Packers, despite them, you know, having fewer snaps defensively yesterday and not really losing anybody on offense. It's just a matter of, like, are they able to get anybody back? And then the other one, too, I guess, Jaden Reed practiced on Friday. They opened up his window to come back, which was strange that they opened it up on Friday. Like, why wouldn't you started letting him practice on Wednesday? Right? Like, why?
Unless you were doing it for this week.
Right, but, like, you would have had him practice all of last week. Like, why just have him practice Friday?
I don't know.
I would think he comes back the following week against the Bears, but maybe he's ready to go this week against, and that would be a really nice. I mean, obviously he'd be on snap count, but that would be a really, really nice addition to get back in the lineup for the Packers. There's a lot of injury concerns for the Packers going into this game. Some guys will be back, some guys won't. The short week obviously hurts them. But yeah.
Well, that's where I look forward to these kinds of things because we've seen them do it before, right? The next man up thing worked this week. They've been pulling that off. Mm-hmm. But LaFleur's done well on short weeks, right? And it's shorthanded short weeks. He's done that. So I think they'll be prepared. I mean, you know, there's sometimes where you can kind of reliably expect them to not be prepared. This is one of those situations where it's like, you know, when they're in these situations, they tend to get going. They tend to be prepared for it. They tend to play well. it's Toyotathon too. Let's not forget this.
That's right.
But yeah, so even if there are a few guys out, I don't think that all of these guys will be out. You know, hopefully we see all of them playing out on the field. But you know, I'd love to see more offensive firepower for this one. I want to see Josh Jacobs out there. You want to see Golden out there to stretch to the defense a little bit more. You know, obviously you need Zach Tom and all your O-linemen you can get. But, you know, Quay Walker, I think, would be a very important one. Yeah, but they're doing it. They're doing it without him. So that's just like, all right, look, bring it on. Whoever's out is out. Whoever's in is in. In this situation, in LaFleur, I trust, right? And, you know, it's just that time of year, man. They start to dial it in. Jordan Love's been playing well this time of year. The defense is as hot as it can be right now. Yeah, Detroit's a tough test, but I've got a lot of confidence going into this one.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, sometimes they're good in these short situations. They were just going back to week two, coming off the first Lions game. They had lost Zach Tom. They lost Aaron Banks. Turning around, playing on a Thursday in week two, and they handled it well. And they've won the last 2 years on Thanksgiving on short weeks. So, yeah, they're going to be ready to go. Whoever's available is available. You know, I think they're going to get some guys back or some guys will be available. I don't think, you know, they're all going to be out or they're all going to be back or anything like that. It's going to be some are in, some are out. They're make the best of it. They're have a plan. They're going to be ready to go. It's not going to be for like who's not there costing the game sort of thing. At least I don't think so.
No, I don't see it that way. I think you're right. I see it more as like, of course, they can do what Packers do and beat themselves. But, yeah, I think something like that's far more likely than to look back on it and go, gosh, you know, if fill in the blank was playing, we probably would have won this game. So, yeah, I'm more confident in their ability to do this next man up thing, you know, and they've got a lot of pieces. And, honestly, this is why they've taken the team building approach that they have, right? You know, why do you take Savion Williams after you take Matthew Golden? Why do you take Romeo Doubs after you take Christian Watson? Why, you know, why do you sign more guys? Why, you know, there's, excuse me, you see it. You end up with these injuries and you need to go 4, 5, 6 deep into your depth chart sometimes. And, you know, not to get too far off topic or, you know, anything, but I probably would expect them to go hard on the DB picks this offseason. You know, you might see a few in the first 2-3 rounds. Because that seems to be how they do this. They overcompensate. They don't take one swing. They take four, right? When they needed a safety, you got Bullard. You got Evan Williams. You got Oladapo. That's what you didn't just get Bullard, you know? So, and they tend to be doing that on the O-line. It seems like every year they want to throw some picks in there, and I'm totally cool with them using late round picks and because they're hitting on those. If you're going to be hit or miss, let's be hit or miss with lesser valuable assets than higher valuable assets, right? You're hit or miss on the free agents, not so sure about Banks. All right, well, cool. Let's just swing a little bit lower cost then, because you're still hitting on guys in the seventh round, right? It's not like you have to take a guy in the first round on the offensive line for it to go well. So just saying all that, like I trust the way that they've built this team. And they knew that they were going to need the depth. And you know, that's why you keep a guy like a McDuffie, even though you've got an Edge Cooper and a Quay Walker, and you know, you go deep. That's why that's why they went out and got Micah Parsons, even though you've got LVN and Rashawn Gary. Well, lo and behold, LVN gets hurt, and then you're down to just Rashawn Gary as one of your premium pass rushers, and him on his own, we've seen it's not really what you want. That's not the solution to the problem. So yeah, you know, like I'm gaining a trust in how they've built this team. I think that they can do it, whether regardless of who's there or not, they're going to have the plan for it. So I guess it's probably time to get into some predictions for how we'll win this game. You know, so I like the Packers' ability to stop the run. Jahmyr Gibbs is a terrifying running back. I think they have to start there by saying, look, dude, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us in the air. Which is a bold thing to do to the Lions, but if you let Gibbs run all over you, man, you're going to be hard pressed to stop that. You can't stop that bleeding. Whereas if you force Goff to beat you, Micah Parsons can handle that. You've got a solution to that problem. So I think they really need to put their assets into stopping the run. Don't, you know, control that part of the game. And then on offense, I mean, we're all sitting here rooting for it to be less conservative. I would love to see this, look back on this game, kind of like we did the Thanksgiving 2023 game, where you're like, dang, Jordan Love's actually, like, he's pretty good, you know? And we're a few years ahead now. We know he's pretty good. We've seen it. Now I just want to see him let him loose. You know, I would love to see a 330-yard passing game here, 4 touchdowns. Like, I would love for this to be a Jordan Love game. As much as you need the running backs, and that's their style, they're going to commit to the running game, all that. Dude, just hit some of those play actions, right? Like, line up like you're going to run that inside zone. Let them call it out at the line and hit a play action over the top of that for 50 yards to Christian Watson. Come on. Like, give me what I want. Give me my red meat. That's going to be my prediction. I'm going to have an optimistic prediction today that's how this game goes, and they are going to win this game. We're going to have that magical number 27-10.
Ooh, not even close. They went comfortable.
The defense is going to be stubborn. Yes.
I love it. I love a lot of what you're saying. I agree with it. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is the key. He's really good. He's playing great for them. He might be the most explosive running back in football. I mean, anytime he touches the ball, he can take it to the house. He can take it 80 yards in seconds, right? Like, home run threat all day. That's the key to me, is like limiting what they do in a running game, because like everything's kind of based off of that. They're a heavy play action team. They like the play action throw over the middle of the field. Goff doesn't air it out necessarily, but he's like in that intermediate area of the field. They like to throw and get their receivers yak, get it to Jameson Williams, get it to St. Brown, let those guys catch it and run with it. So your linebacker's got to be really good in this game. That's why they can use Quay Walker for sure. And you got to take care of the run first. And then, I agree with you. Like, shut down the run and make Goff beat you. Get a lead on him and see what Goff can do when you're able to pin your ears back and come after him. Because he can be real dangerous and a really effective quarterback. But when you get a pass rush on him, he is completely different. He crumbles. He does not like guys around him. He does not like guys in his face. Rush up the middle. I think they can attack the interior of the Lions offensive line. It's, you know, it's vulnerable. It's not that good. And they did that in the first game. So, like, big Devontae Wyatt week this week. Carl Brooks, if he plays. Micah coming up, you know, when he's lining up at linebacker, coming up the middle. I think that's how you got to win. It's just limiting the explosive plays, limiting what they do in a running game, especially with Gibbs. And then offensively, don't get bullied by them. Like, they're a very physical and aggressive defense. They're going to play man. Brian Branch is going to come in there and try to cheap shot you. They're real big at defensive tackle. Their corners, I think their corners are kind of vulnerable, but they will play aggressive and physical. They're going to get away with some holding. You're probably going to get them called with some holding or illegal contact. Like, they'll take their chances with that. Don't get bullied by it. Be physical. And I think having Belton in there tackle at guard helps them, because he's a bigger dude. He can be on him. He can be physical with him. I don't think it's a big running game. Like, I don't think, whether it's Jacobs or Wilson, like, they're going to have a 100-yard back in this game. But you got to stay with it a little bit. And I'm with you. Like, this is Jordan Love's game offensively. Like, I know he's playing hurt, and that's kind of like, all right, you got to be careful with how much you're exposing him, especially with Aiden Hutchinson coming off the edge. But I think it's his game, and you put the ball in his hands and trust him and let him work. There's going to be some chances down the field. I'm not saying go bombs away all day, but there's chances down the field. Look what Jameis Winston did to them yesterday. I think there's chances for, if Golden plays, to hit him deep, Watson. So just trust your quarterback, and he's playing good football right now. Let Jordan Love take you to victory in this game.
Totally agree. And I think he proved that last game, you know, the plays that he was given, and, you know, the fadeaway throw and all that. I mean, he can protect the ball even in the face of adversity. And I think maybe that's something that coaches have a hard time protecting or trusting young quarterbacks to do. But I just think he's demonstrated that he's doing that, you know, and hopefully they see that in the film and they say, all right, we got to let this guy do his thing. But this is the time of year they've been doing that. So hopefully that pattern continues. Do you have a score prediction?
Well, you need it from your receivers too, because they're going to have to make some contested catches, right? Like help out your quarterback. Yeah. And I know you can say that every week, but this is a team that's like physical and they're going to be playing press and they're going to be on you. Like catch the ball for them, right? And not just the easy ones that you should catch. Help them out a little bit. Make those contested catches. If you got to go up and get one deep, like we saw Watson do on Thanksgiving 2 years ago when they threw the deep one to him on the first play of the game, like, go up and make some plays to help him.
That's what I want to see.
Right? Get him rolling, and then he can start dealing. And they can put up some points against this team. And when you put up points, then your pass rush can just go and take off. Forget about the run. Just go get the quarterback. And then you'll see what Goff is made of if he starts turning the ball over. Like it's happened to the Packers two Thanksgivings ago. Like it's a different situation. I don't want to compare too much. But 2 weeks ago when he played the Eagles, or a week, a little more than a week ago, he was horrible. Now, that was outside. The conditions were cold and windy and all that. But Goff was awful in that game. He was J.J. McCarthy-like in that game. I'm not saying he's going to be that in this game, but like
he's capable of it. He's a good quarterback, but he's not proof. Like he's not, anybody who's not going to screw up. Like he can have some bad games.
And it was because the Eagles had a pass rush and got to him and sped him up. And he was seeing ghosts out there. He was playing way faster than he needed to. He was a deer in headlights. They were coming after him, and he did not respond well. He played a brutal game against the Eagles. Do that to him again. Get in space. Get to him. Hit him. Get around him. And he'll throw you some. You got to catch him, but he'll start chucking it up, and you have opportunities for picks. So.
Yeah, the Packers DBs are starting to take advantage of those opportunities as we're seeing, and that's something I even said that I had confidence that they would do that. They're in position for these things. You're in position. That's the hardest part. You're going to make the catch eventually if you continue to be in the right position.
Yeah, and everybody's been saying all your coaches, players, us, like eventually you're playing really good defense and you're there. Eventually the turnovers have to start. Like it just has to. So maybe it's starting to happen for them. That would be great. And that's another thing that can really, not just in the Detroit game, but like if they start happening now, this second half of the season, that changes a lot. Like your defense is playing better, but you're giving more opportunities to your offense. Like that's a big key to watch in Detroit, but just for the rest of the year, if those takeaways start flooding in for the defense if they could. So I'm not scared of the Lions. Like, I don't think the Packers should be. I respect them. I still think they're a good team, but they've been way up and down this year. I don't think they're as good as they were the last couple of years. I don't view them as – I still see some national media like they're a Super Bowl contender. I don't see it. Like, and I know, like, it's wide open this year and there's no great teams out there or anything, but, like, I don't see I don't see this Lions team going to the Super Bowl. I think the last couple of years you could see that potential with them. Obviously, it didn't happen. I don't fear them at all. I think the Packers can go in there. I know it's tough, short week. If they're banged up, in that dome, it's different than getting them outside. I definitely think they can go in there and do it. I feel much better about it coming off the Minnesota game. So I think the Packers are going to find a way to win the game. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a physical battle all the way down to the end. I know you said 27 to 10. I think it's going to be much closer than that, but I think they can find a way to win this game.
All right. Much closer than that. That's the prediction we'll get.
I'll say they hit the magic 27. They didn't against Minnesota. They were close. How about 27?
They didn't need
24?
It. Okay. 27-24. I like that. Okay. And you're giving hope, Tim. Look at this. So R. Shower says, Tim is right and gives me hope. I'd have more if he had dirt on the floor and could make him listen. Me too.
I got no dirt.
Me too, man. We need to get LaFleur listening to the Pack Weekly Pod. So anybody out there that's friends with with Coach LaFleur. Hook him up. We got all the answers for him. Let him know. I think he's available this time, usually.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he shouldn't be game planning for Detroit.
No. He's not busy. You guys mistake this. He's not doing anything. Everybody else does everything. He's not doing anything. So he can watch a podcast. Anyway, yeah, so look, we got optimism right now around this game, around the team. And I think not only do the wins help, but I think the perspective from around the league helps, at least for me. You know, it's easy to look at other teams and assume that everything's going right for them, you know, because they're, whatever, 10-2 or whatever the top records are right now. But if you watch these games, every team looks beatable. They've got vulnerabilities. They've got weaknesses. Yeah, some of them are good, and they're playing good football. But nobody is just – there's just no juggernauts out there. No, nobody's terrifying. There's nobody I look at and go, gosh, I don't know how you're going to beat them. Mm-hmm. But part of that is because the Packers are up there, man. Like, they're up there. You've got premier players at positions that are the most important, and – gosh, if that's not one of the most fun things about watching football, I don't know what it is. You know, like, there's been a lot of years that I remember as a Packers fan wishing we had players like Micah Parsons on our team. And so we got to have some fun with this, man. This is a good time to be a Packers fan. We've got a great game in front of us. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Tim, what are you doing for Thanksgiving, man? Are you traveling? Do you fry your turkey? Do you bake your turkey? What is your Thanksgiving strategy?
I am not touching the turkey. I do not cook. That's my wife's
hands off.
She's a great cook, and she's cooking for us this year. So I'll help clean. I'll help set up. I will help clean up, wash the dishes, all that. I will do plenty of eating, but I am not cooking. Keep me out of the kitchen. It'll be a nice turkey in the oven. We're not frying it or anything like that. More traditional, I guess. But yeah, you don't want me cooking. No. No, we don't need to be calling 911 watching the house burn down because I'm in the kitchen trying to make a turkey. No way.
Tim's not taking any risks. So, you know, he's going very much the LaFleur path here with his Thanksgiving strategy. You're going to go nice and easy. No risk taken here. Even though that fried turkey tastes so good, man. It's so good. Yeah, it's worth blowing your house up for some people. It's that good.
For some people, not. No.
Don't do that. Don't blow your house down.
Enjoy your fried turkey, but I won't
enjoy responsibly. And right. So for those, if you're not in on the joke about the fried turkey, all right, if you just is like a new Thanksgiving for you, and you just haven't heard about this yet, you must let your turkey thaw entirely if you're gonna fry it. All right, you don't want to introduce a giant block of ice to 350 degree oil. It's not a good idea. It's a bad idea. Great science experiment. If you can do it in a controlled environment, a lot of fun. Watch it on YouTube. Way easier, way less messy, way less dangerous, all that. If you are going to fry your turkey, thaw it completely. Give it what I think it's like 2 days. You have to let that thing thaw. So just no houses blowing up here in the Pack Weekly Pod audience. You guys are all responsible cooks. You're all going to do a phenomenal turkey or whatever you do for Thanksgiving, I'm sure. We're not losing any garages this year. So, but we will. We will be frying a turkey over here in the Tedek nice. Household. We do fry turkeys. We fry them outside. So even if they blow up, it'll be all right. You lose a little grass, it'll be okay. Nobody's going to get hurt. But, no, we've done that a few times. We usually do two. You get two turkey things going. And, yeah, man, it's just delicious. So if you haven't had the fried turkey, definitely try it. But maybe go over to somebody's house who does the fried turkey.
Yes, I will not be frying, but I would I would definitely be tasting a fried turkey.
They're delicious. Good. It is delicious. So, and then hey, look, we got our showers coming in here with some cooking advice as well. He said, LMAO, my air fryer for the turkey is a no-brainer. Much safer. Much safer. Definitely air fryer is a pretty safe option. You're not going to blow up the garage with the air fryer, I don't think. And then Matthew Tan says he's going to have a roast instead of a turkey. All right, hey, man, that's cool. Mix it up. Yeah. That's the beauty of Thanksgiving. There's a lot of variety. There's really no right or wrong answer. A lot of good stuff. What's your favorite side That's usually the big kind of tricky question.
Yeah, always been a mashed potatoes, but my wife makes amazing mashed sweet potatoes. A little different. They're excellent. So that's what I'm looking forward to. A little bit different, but that mashed sweet potatoes. I can't wait for those. Okay. What about you?
I love my mom's stuffing. The stuffing she does. She's been doing it the same way my whole life, and it is excellent. Excelente. It's yummy. So yeah, I always look forward to that. And you got to get that first bite when it comes out of the oven, because it's like that outer layer's got a little crisp to it.
Yes, a little crispiness and stuff. Yes,
yes,
I agree. Yes. With
so, and of course, we're gonna be munching on some dubs because we're gonna win. The Packers are gonna beat the Lions on Thanksgiving in the Lions' house, sweeping them for the season. We're taking back some dignity from these last few years, man. I'm sick of the NFC North thinking that they can push around the Packers, dude. Even these Bears fans are getting a little cocky. Getting a little cocky, guys. So I think sweeping the Lions will be a good start. We're going to sweep the Vikings after that. We're going to sweep the Bears, too. We're just sweep all of them. Just remind them who the kings of the North are. They forgot.
Taking it back.
We're taking it back. I'm done with this. And we're thankful for this crusade to take back the North. We're taking back the North. All right, guys. And Matthew Tan agrees. He says 27-20. Good prediction, sir. I love it. All right, if y'all had fun with us hanging out here on this pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Pack Weekly Pod, please go ahead and spike that like button right now, and definitely get on over to the Packers Talk Network YouTube channel. Subscribe for us. Hit that little bell so that they'll actually tell you when we're streaming live. You don't even have to put any effort into it. They're just going to come and tell you, hey, these guys are talking Pack, and you need to be part of it. And of course, if you're enjoying the Pack Weekly Pod, I know some of you show up in the comments every week. We love you guys. Tell a friend, bring a friend. Let's hang out. Let's all be cheeseheads together and talk Pack. And if you got an NFC North friend, we'll take the trolls too. They can come hang out and talk their trash because we know we're going to win, so it doesn't matter. And receipts are always nice anyway. You know, let them write all the receipts. It's great. And of course, we're gonna watch this victory. I'm excited about this victory this week. It's gonna taste good. We'll be thankful for it. I hope you all have a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully, with family, friends, loved ones. Enjoy the food, the football, the season. It's a wonderful time. And go Pack.